Love Osho Podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Swami Prem Prabodh. Prabodh took sannyas in 1980 and is a musician playing at Osho festivals and meditation events around the world. I'm so happy to have Prabodh on the show and I hope you enjoyed. Prabodh, welcome to the show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. And I'm looking forward to answer your questions.
Great. So to start, Prabodh, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
All right. I came across Osho in 79 through a couple of books. One was The Way of the Wild Clouds and the other one was Hammer on the Rock. And also the Satyananda, this Stern reporter just brought this book out, Ganz entspannt im Hier und Jetzt, the German title. And it was like a thriller to me to read that book. It was amazing. And also the other two books were really beautiful to read. Then in the summer, I had a dream. I came across Osho in my dream. And it was really intense because it was the last thing I expected to all of a sudden meet Osho in a dream. It was in a park. And when I realized who comes towards me, I kind of wanted to escape because this is too much. This is really too much. But then there was no way I could have gotten out of this situation. So we ended up standing opposite each other. And he put his hand on my head and it was like an explosion of light and sounds like dolphins. And it made me sit upright in bed. It really hit me strongly. Yeah. So that was my first experience of meeting him. Later that year, I met my first sannyasins on a birthday celebration in Munich. And it was also a really amazing experience to do the first meditations together and Natarash, Natapama, and Kundalini. And I've never heard this kind of music before in my life. And I remember after Natarash, when that last bit of music started to play, it touched me. It was so beautiful. It was just, the whole thing was so beautiful. The people, the meditation together, and then this music. Wow. It also felt like coming home in a way. Like to meet people of the same kind, like kindred spirits. And as it so happened that evening, we got invited to Purwodaya, to the center, which was a little outside of Munich. And it really was like, when I walked through the gates there, it really was like coming home. Yeah, so that is that story.
Okay, so that was in Germany. And then how did you end up in India? And can you tell us about your first time where you saw Osho?
I took sannyas in Germany because I felt like it was more important to be there in this ashram because not much later I started to live there than to go to India and take sannyas there. Somehow I really felt drawn that this is to do it that way. So I didn't see Osho till early 81. I think it was February, and it was the last series of The Goose Is Out was on. And my first experience of him, he was actually talking in Hindi. The first 2 weeks, the lectures were in Hindi. And it didn't matter. It was beautiful just to be in this space. It was amazing. I really enjoyed Corrigan Park. It was, it felt like the whole Corrigan Park was the ashram. You could go anywhere. There were huts, there were sannyasins. It was alive. There was a lot of energy there. It was very, very beautiful. And I had an arrival darshan. That was when I sat energy darshan style, when I was sitting opposite in front of him. And he put his hand on my head. The next thing I know is these big guys come and pick me up and carry me away because I couldn't have walked. Yeah, I couldn't have walked. And it was a very, very beautiful time there. I did a few groups that were, and then I had the same again, leaving darshan, and the same thing happened again. The moment he touched my forehead, everything stopped, and they had to come and pick me up again and carry me back to my space.
I'm wondering if you had any intimate moment with Osho, one-to-one meeting, or if you got any personal advice from him in the form of questions or letters.
No, that kind of didn't happen. I always found like my questions answered through other people's questions. You know, when there was something going for me, like you know, somebody asked a question and he actually answered it for me. So I never really felt the need to personally ask him something.
In terms of the work in the commune, I'm aware that during the time you were in Pune or in Oregon, you have been involved in printing and publishing Osho's books. And as you said, you came across Osho through a book, and the same happened to me and to many, many, many people around the world. So the topic of Osho's books is very important. So I'd love to know if you can describe the work you did, and also I want to know if how much Osho was directly involved in the process of publishing his own book.
Yeah. Okay. He was always very much involved in the book production. Like, he chose the pictures for the cover, and also he's been shown the layouts of the books. Yeah? So he had, as far as I know, a direct contact or control over that. And I've been printing German books here in Germany before in the commune I was living in. And also there was Nirvana. He was the official translator for his books. Né? So he also took care of that side, that he wanted the right people to translate also his words into another language.
And in terms of editing of the books, do you know anything about that?
No, I don't know anything about the editing of the books. I mean, the thing is, what I know is just like that people checked if everything was written, typed correct. If his words were edited or so, I don't know. It wasn't really my concern in that sense. I was busy, or I was taking care of the darkroom work and production work in Bombay.
Okay, so talking a little bit about Osho and the impact of Osho in your life, how would you describe how Osho changed your life?
Well, I would say it changed my life completely. Even though on a certain level I had the feeling it's just like another step in my development to come across him and to become a sannyasin. But at the same time, it really changed everything completely. Yeah, all of a sudden I live in an ashram. Then later I'm going to America, then Pune. It brought meditation into my life and miracles. A lot of amazing things were happening all of a sudden. Things were possible, or things all of a sudden happened I would have never dreamt of, like playing music for him in Chantasu, in Pune too, because it was a very intimate setting, and to all of a sudden sit there so close to him and play music, that was like, a dream come true. I didn't even think, or I didn't even know I had. It was like, really, what a gift. What a tremendous gift.
Can you tell us more about your experience playing music for Osho whilst Osho was in the body?
Okay, there's one thing that shows it the most. There's this one time we were playing in Chantasu. We were playing this song, "The Waves Are Coming In, The Waves Are Going Out." Everybody loves that song. And we were playing it before he came in. And all of a sudden we look around because we heard really waves. There were stuff going on energetically in that little hall. We couldn't believe what is going on. Where is these sounds coming from? You know, it was really a magical moment that where a lot more than just us created the music. Like sometimes, you know, we were walking out, hugging our instruments and just like not saying anything, just a big smile on our faces. And because it was a really, really beautiful experience, even though the equipment wasn't very good. But it didn't matter. It was just like such a beautiful energy.
Yes, I can imagine that. I mean, it's still very strong, comes through the recording of the music played. So, and can you describe the moments when you used to play music? Was it during, before Osho's discourses, or during special occasions? When would you play music for with Osho?
We played before he came to hold his talks, and then afterwards again. So at some point we would start playing maybe 10 minutes before he started to come in. It also went through certain phases, because sometimes the music was very upbeat and he was doing his handshaking, and he really enjoyed this energy phenomenon. But then he had some trouble with his arms, so we didn't, we played more quiet music so that he didn't do that, because it was better for him to like heal his shoulders again before it can again be high energy. But I don't know what else really to say about it.
Okay, coming closer to your present days, you still play music for Osho and you travel around the world, festivals, meditation events. So tell us a little bit about that. You know, where do you go? What kind of events do you bring your love for Osho through music?
I do play in the UK a lot. Even now I'm here in Germany with my mom, taking care of her. There are several events I go and play, and it's either festivals where we play live meditations and satsangs and sanya celebration, or it is a weekend like a meditation camp over a weekend where we also play live meditations, mainly live meditations and music to dance.
Do you see many young people coming at this event?
Yes. That is the amazing thing, that over the years, still each time, anywhere I go, if it's in the UK or in Portugal or in America, there are always new people coming, you know, also young people. It's not like that it's kind of stuck. It is always the same kind of people and they get older and older. No, it still attracts amazingly new people each time. It's phenomenal.
In your view, in your experience, how is Osho received today by younger people compared to before?
I don't know if you can say that it's different now from then. I think it's still the same. It because it attracts a certain kind of people, no, who are interested in inner growth and come across him somehow, or heard about it, or heard about that place like Osho Lila. It's beautiful there. And so I think it's the way, I think it's still the same. I don't think there's something totally different now from like when I was that age. Somehow it feels like it's still alive, you know. Somehow we manage, or this energy is still happening. Yeah, and we're just able through our music also to facilitate this, you know, and keep it alive. Like most of the times, unless we're playing a few songs, it's always improvised, you know. So it's always fresh. It's always new what we do. Yeah, so it's not like you put in on a tape. It's really up to our own creativity to that moment when it's happening, to express it as beautifully as possible.
What you're saying is that during these live events, you musicians get together and just somehow connect to Osho's energy, and then the music flows, something like that.
Yeah. For example, like a good example is like with Milarepa, when sometimes, particularly this one time, or most of the times actually, because he doesn't like to rehearse anything, we meet on stage and start, you know. Okay, I start. Okay. It's like that spontaneous, you know, where you all of a sudden, get thrown into this situation. Okay, I just start. This bass line, whatever, the drummer joins and the whole band, and off we go.
For someone like me, for example, that, you know, I don't know much about music, and it sounds like totally crazy. I mean, how do you just go like this?
Yeah. I mean, it's a challenge, but also it has a tremendous beauty in it because we trust each other enough that we actually can do that. It's a very beautiful thing, and I'm very happy that I'm capable of doing that, and also have these really wonderful musicians to play with who are also able to do that, where you really just can jump into something, you know, knowing it will be all right.
In your travels, you go in many countries. Where do you feel that there is more Osho juice or Osho spirit is alive and kicking?
In all these places where I go, like, it's very alive. In Portugal, it's very alive. There's this festival I go with, Harida and Nathan, this Osho Fest Portugal, that happens always, usually around the July full moon. And also there, each time new people come. And yeah, it's celebration. The kids are totally integrated into the whole thing. It's a beautiful celebration, a lot of silence, meditation. It's very beautiful. And in America, the same. It really, when I was the first time over there a few years ago, I was amazed at how strong the Osho energy is over there. And also thanks to Milarepa, who does this since 25 years now. Each year he has a tour there. And there are also new people come every time. you know, and it's a strong energy. There's also also in certain places, there are also lots of Indian friends, which is really beautiful. You know, some of them, they were too young or too busy with their lives while they were in India. But through this IT stuff, they came over to America. And there is a wonderful community. Yeah. In the UK, too, it's continuously growing. Otherwise, we because we're still doing it. It's still alive. Yeah, it's still very much alive.
You have been in the commune in the heydays, and the Osho was in the body, and you know, just looking at those videos, you can see that there is something extraordinary. You can feel it. But at the same time, I feel like you're very fresh and alive, and you talk about the present day events with the same excitement. So do you think that the Osho's energy is still available today?
I would say very much so, because I remember him even saying something, you know, when my people get together, I'll be there. And you can really, you can feel that there's a presence, a depth, a silence and beauty there, which is like really extraordinary. And the way how I could describe it is like, you know, if you see like the Buddha field in UK is kind of like an ocean, then in Portugal is kind of like an ocean. In America, these different places are all kind of like oceans. And when you taste, it's all salty. It's different, has little different because different nationality, different country, whatever not. But the essence is all like all the different oceans. After all, they're all salty. So it's wonderful. You can't say it's anywhere better or stronger or anything like this. No, you couldn't I couldn't possibly say that, because it's just intrinsically the same. It's the same energy.
Now, that's a beautiful metaphor. I love it. What about Germany? Because you are based in Germany.
Yeah, I'm based here just recently again. The thing is, because of the way my son's life was, I've been not much after the communes more or less closed down here and India started. I'm rarely have been here. Just only for short visits. So since decades, I'm not really in touch with the German sanya scene. I did play, though, with Atmo, a lovely friend and trumpet player. We did play in Freiburg for an event the year before last. We did a meditation event there. And I'm sure maybe one day we will do it again. It's just like a question like of organizing that sometimes is a little difficult. But yeah, that's why I can't really say all that much about Germany.
Okay, fair enough. So what would you say is Osho's biggest contribution to humanity?
I feel like he really introduced like meditation to the daily life. And also like, what did he say? Love is my message. Love. Yeah. And to have fun, to like, life is not a serious affair, like be a joke unto yourself, and but in a sincere kind of way.
And I think you learned that, right?
yeah, exactly. You learned it. Like, yes. You're bound to learn it. There's no way. What is it? There's no way but through.
No, I love your giggles and your joy and your laughter. So talking about you personally, in your life, what did you learn from Osho the most, or what's Osho's biggest influence in your own personal life?
I think it's actually simple to have met him, to have had him, or to have him in my life. That is the biggest contribution of him for me. It's like it brought so viel love and gratitude into my life. You know, I have an amazing life, I feel. And and somehow it's like he pointed me into that direction, I guess. So that's it in a nutshell.
Very beautiful to hear. Now it's very sincere. I can feel that. And I'm also curious to know if there is any difference between your life when Osho was in the body and now.
Not really, because I had the feeling he anyhow always wanted us to be out in the world. So for me, like also like Pune, in a way came to a natural end for me. And then I met some really lovely friends in the UK, and we just went on, played beautiful music together like in early 2000. And so we just kept that spirit alive because it was also in us and we expressed it through our music. It was very, I had to feel it just continued independent of him being in his body. Yeah.
Good. That's great. And it sounds like, you know, your life is a life of music. You've been playing music when you were in the commune and also nowadays. So what are your current projects and, you know, what are you up to lately?
Practice, learning, learn more about bass and everything around it, about music. And because I taught it to myself and I started playing by ear. So now finally, after I don't know how many years, like I'm actually having a look at how do you do it properly, so to speak. So I do some, I signed up with a music school and do stuff online bit by bit. And that's one project I do. The other way this year, I don't know what's going on with this corona crisis. I don't know what life events can happen. And also, when is it possible to visit places again? When you can fly to America, for example, or UK or Portugal. When, you know, at the moment, it's all closed, basically. Now people started doing stuff online now, which is really beautiful. It's amazing. It brought out its own kind of creativity. And people are doing satsangs. You can join with Zoom. And yeah, so I'm curious, no? Because normally I would have already been in the UK and it's not possible. And then there is a festival in July in Portugal. I don't know. Then there is one in end of August in UK. I don't know. And then there is an American tour on the cards, September into beginning of October. I don't know. So let's see what happens this year. I have no idea.
You sound not too much worried about all that is going on with this coronavirus crisis.
No, no. I mean, it might have these consequences that I'm going to be here for the rest of the year. I'm not going to be able to travel anywhere or play music. But I mean, what to do? Then that is what will happen. Yeah, it would be sad because the thing is also some of the places I go now for several years. So it's also really beautiful to meet my friends again. Yeah, to hang out and have a lovely time. And so I might miss that this year. But yeah, I mean, and in fact, directly, I'm not worried about the virus. And I'm really lucky that Surabi came to visit me just before the borders were closed. No? So she's stuck here with me now, and we're just really great friends. So it's great. I don't think we ever were so much just the two of us together anywhere, ever. And it's good. It feels really great. We walk, we hike, we cycle. The good thing, the beauty is that the nature is here awesome. Awesome nature around here, just in the front of the doorstep, you know, like 2 minutes, I'm in a wonderful park. And then there's lakes very close by where you can hang out and swim. And I already have a tan like I haven't had in a long time, so early in the year. It has its advantages.
Well, look, maybe you don't realize it, but from the outside, just let me tell you that you really know how to enjoy life. And for you, it's natural. It comes across, you know, you're just enjoying the simple things. And then you are in great company with Surabi. So I'm very happy for you two guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't know how it would have been here all on my own, because usually I'm here on my own when I'm here, because I've left decades ago. So I lost touch like with old friends from my school time or whatever, you know. So so when I'm here in Germany, like I'm really just it's a lot. I'm basically alone here then. Yeah, that's also took a little time to get used to. But hey, that's simply how it is. So embrace that. It's okay.
It's okay. Okay, Prabhu. Look, we're heading towards the end, and I have three final questions I ask all the guests on the show. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
At the moment, I get up, prepare breakfast for my mum, read a bit the paper, and do a meditation or sit for a little bit. Or go out early, go out into the park, you know, just have a walk in the park.
Nice. Okay. So the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Oh, I love to sit like for half an hour or something every day. And if it works out, and I do love that very much. And then, for example, when I'm on tour, I really, really love dynamic every morning during the events. It's really, really beautiful. I love dynamic meditation. Yes.
I'm with you on that. Absolutely. So the last question is, you lead the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2020?
I never thought about that, what it means to me. It's like, it's about being yourself and being like true to yourself and enjoy life, whatever it brings, you know, and share myself through my work, through the music, what I do, you know, like also be playful. When I prepare food for my mom, I make it nice on the plate, you know, and, you know, things like this, little ordinary kind of things, enjoy them and put attention with it. Be present, be as present as possible at any point of time, really.
That's a very beautiful answer, simple but incredibly beautiful. I love it and I can feel it from you. So on these notes, that's the end of the show. Thank you so much, Prabodh, for being part of the Love Osho podcast. I really enjoy chatting with you, feeling your very jolly, light energy. And yeah, look forward to meeting you one day, perhaps at one of the events where you play.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Okay, lots of love and a big hug.
Yeah, to you too. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.